Welcome to the Wormhole. My name is Jamie Burchell, and you are watching and or listening to our new podcast called Wormhole Pinball Presents. Today, I'm joined by the one and only Chris Caneda. Welcome to the Wormhole virtually. This is
Yeah.
you're not here in person, but we will get you here eventually. You have very good fans and friends here, and I want to thank Blake. What? How may I say his name correctly? I always butcher. Yeah,
Dubasnail.
so that's easy.
Yeah, he's now over at Barrels of Fun, right? So like
Yeah.
he's got to be cautious what he tells me. But Jamie, I'm happy to be here. Your room is spectacular. I'm looking at this wormhole and I've seen like streams from it, like super
Oh,
envious that
thanks.
you have a really cool like den set up to be, to let your inner geek out.
Well, I'll give you like a 1 minute pitch on us, right? Like a 1 minute elevator pitch on started. We were quite frankly going to be a bar. And we don't have parking. Parking is an issue here, so we couldn't get a liquor license. So then we just turned it into a clubhouse. And at first it was private, and
Right.
then this is during COVID. And then little by little we let more people in, and then we just started having tournaments here, Chris. And then that's when it really. And then we were like, hey, let's just stream, because what the hell, we're here anyway. And I used to do a soccer podcast back in the day. I love this team out of Glasgow called Celtic, and. So, I mean, it was actually a very successful podcast in Glasgow and in
Right.
Scotland. I think we had like 8,000 downloads a week, but that was all in Scotland. So if I ever went to Scotland, I would have been a celebrity. Here in the States, nobody knew who the hell I was. So,
That's amazing.
are you a native New Yorker?
I was born in New York City, grew up in the suburbs, went to college in Pennsylvania, and then back. I've been in the city for like 23 years after college.
Yeah, so I'm from Long Island originally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, got the Yankee hat on. My
Yeah.
condolences on the team. They're not
Now
doing
we
very
suck.
well.
Now, at least I'm not a Met fan, right? I
Exactly.
mean, so there's that. Yeah, I grew up in Massapequa, Long Island, and then I moved to Florida, and then like we all do, right? All New
Right.
Yorkers to
Yeah,
Florida.
eventually.
My parents are in Port St. Lucie. It just
Right.
retired living
So
it up.
where's the wormhole, Jamie? It's
Oh,
in
it's in Houston. It's in the
Houston,
Heights.
right? Okay. Okay.
It's in the Heights. It's just off of downtown. And we're actually building a museum. Did you hear about that?
I heard rumblings in Houston.
Yeah, that's going to be in Edu in downtown. And so Tim and Christine, who are our benefactors and own the wormhole, have combined 165 machines
Wow.
and not EMs. I mean, these are unbelievable pinball machines, and they need a place to play them. And so they bought a beautiful building downtown, and we're going to make a museum out of it. It's going to be incredible.
Beautiful. And so it'll be something like you just pay to get in a
Yeah,
little
I think so. I
thing,
think
get to enjoy those
we're in the
machines.
permitting stage, right?
Right.
The design stage with the architects. But yeah, it'll be a pay to come in and play and play these unique games that he has, like Trailer. It's like Cosmic Princess behind me. Like, nobody sees Cosmic Princess. I mean, that was made Australian Stern. Nobody knows. And so he has like 50 to 60 of these machines, Chris, that nobody knows and nobody
Right.
has. And he just wants to show off his collection, but not show it off in a way like, look at me, but in a way of like,
Yeah, let
hey,
people play them.
let him play them,
Yeah,
man.
that's beautiful. Like sometimes, I think people have lost the reason for these machines are to be played. How many times
Yeah.
do you see like got a Pirates of the Caribbean 6 years old with less than 20 plays, and it's like what
What are you
happened?
doing? Yeah,
Yeah.
we had a tournament here last night, and we're open. We are technically open only 3 days a month, right? So it's the first Saturday, first Monday, and third Monday, and those are our tournaments.
Okay.
We pay like $15 to come in, right? And you don't when you get knocked out of the 3X, you don't have to go home. You can stay here all night if you want. But we just had the tournament here last night, and so I'm here again this morning. My wife's like, What are you doing, man? You're
Yeah.
at this place all the damn time. So we actually met at TPF a couple of years ago. Blake introduced us to it. It was like one of your at Perry's, but I doubt
Yeah.
you know that. Some might call that like a mixer, if you will.
It's a media mixer of one. Yeah, and I think we'll hopefully we'll do it again this year. I don't know. There's a lot of trippy drama happening as of
today. I read that this morning. You want to talk about it? It's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately it's just sad that after, you know, being recognized for 6 years, they've now removed me from the database as if the show doesn't exist. But I think cooler heads will prevail. I think Colin is just excited and angry at the same time. And I think he'll calm down. But you know, and look, it's all meant to have fun. You know, the award shows are celebrating what people love about pinball.
Right.
And you can't cherry pick who you want to make eligible. Like, it's got to let the people decide. And I think when the dropdown happens, I will say this, if the dropdown happens on December 18th and I'm not listed as a podcaster or a streamer, I wouldn't want to be on the other end of like the angry Canada fans who, you know,
right,
be disappointed to see that. So I think it'll be fine. But
I don't know. Colin, right? Yeah. I'm a pinball creator that doesn't really watch or listen to any pinball, because I'm fairly new to the pinball community, right? But none of it makes any sense to me. Like, I'll tell you a quick story, all right? Yeah. And this will get us going on this TPN type of thing, right?
Right.
So here we are, Chris. We're five episodes in during COVID to this wormhole pinball, right? And we're not good. I mean, we're not good. We don't know what we're doing. Everything is just garbage. And I, being a salesperson in me, decide I want to join TPN and there's a spot on Monday. So, okay, let's go. So I reach out to the TPN powers that be and I say, hey, I see you have a spot on Monday. We'd like to fill that. We're wormhole pinball. We're out of Houston. And we're hot shit and whatever yeah. I decided to do, right? And they say no. Right. Well, of course they say no, because we're terrible, right? And yeah, so then they go, okay, you could join our Discord channel, which I take as a slight, right? Like, who, you know, Discord? I don't want to be on Discord. So I go on the Discord and I light them up because I'm trying to get better. I want this to be a thing here. I want what you see behind me to be representative of my hosting abilities as well.
Right.
So they helped me a little and they're dealing with me. And then at the end of the year, they said we would look at people towards the end of 2022. So at 2022, I come back and I go, all right, we got nominated for a TWIPPY. We're doing pretty good. I'd like to join TPN again.
Right.
And said no. Right. Which, and then of course I get pissed. Right. So then I'm lighting up guys here and I'm like, you know, they don't like us. What's the matter? It's a all boys club and all this. But at the really, that's just me being crazy, right? Because at the end of the day, I put them in an impossible situation of saying no to me.
Right.
And who the hell am I, right?
Yeah. Well, soccer player. I always said this about, you know, TPN ultimately it's a network like NBC, right? And so if you want to have a show on NBC, you have to kind of prove that you're worth.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, I'm not surprised that they told you no, to be honest.
I wasn't good enough.
I wouldn't take it personally. We're seeing a lot of, I love the fact that a lot of people are jumping into the pinball content space. I love the fact that in the TWIPPYs this year, which by the way, was my idea, that we're going to recognize favorite new pinball podcasts, new streamer, new YouTube channel, because it's like, that's just going to get more people in. It's going to get people excited. It's hard to dethrone the people that have been doing it for a decade. I was actually listening back to some of my old shows and they're terrible, like terrible.
Right.
And I don't even recognize the person doing the first 100 shows I did. But you know, everyone's got to start somewhere and, you know, I'm glad you've got the mic on and you start to find your way. Everyone finds their voice and they find their angle.
Well, in sales, and I'm in sales as well, I'm a recruiter. I teach people to find their voice, right? And what is your voice? And I'm very glad they said no to me, truthfully, because I don't want to be beholden to anyone, right? And we're starting to put out some good content. And
you know what's crazy right now? Ryan White at Chicago Gaming Company is calling me. And he never calls me. He never says anything. I don't want to sandbag him and pick it up, but I'll tell him I'll call him back. But that's a scoop that he's alive and he's well.
I find what you do very fascinating, right? Like, I think, how did you decide to go behind this paywall? Like, how did you decide to do this? Because I really don't think there's anybody else that could have done it. And I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I just don't think, I think maybe, what that he could have done it.
Well, like ultimately everyone could do it, right? There's no barrier to doing it. And I think the only way it kind of works is if you do build up an audience and you create something that people value, and then you make a pay for it. I mean, it's just simple, like anything in life. Like there was enough demand where if I supplied it for, you know, very minimal barrier to entry at $5 a month, which in this pinball space, right, that is almost comical to charge so little, you know, for so much content, especially, you know, when the machines are costing $5,000 to $15,000.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason I took it behind the paywall is just it got to a point where, and everyone will get there, you're just spending so many hours doing so much work and you literally get nothing out of it other than like the attention, you know? And then I was basically taking so much time away from work, from family, from all this other stuff. And I'm like, look, I think we can create a win-win where like everyone who loves the show can still easily get access to it. I get a little bit in my pocket at the end of the month, not a ton. Come live in New York City, people, see where that money goes.
It's a few dinners
and it's gone. But you know, and also I did it to kind of eliminate, you know, some of the people that were trying to kind of come at me personally and professionally, just to, you know, if you hate me, cool, but now you can hate me and you'll have to pay to hate me, because like I wasn't going to just, you know, keep doing it for free. At the height of the free show, I think I was somewhere around 4,000 to 5,000 people listening per episode, depending on the topic. If I had a guest, I'd always get a few more. And so the conversion ratio from that number to where I'm at now is, I'm really just proud of it, because you normally don't get like a 10% conversion ratio when you go behind a paywall. It's normally like 2 to 3%. So I think it's just created a win-win-win, and I'm happy about it. I think the fans love it. I'm still doing the free stuff on Facebook every Saturday and throughout the week.
I love your Facebook Lives. I really like it. I
think a lot of people say that that's actually the best content, and I enjoy it as a content creator because there's no editing, there's no notes. It's just sit down and I get up in 90 minutes and I'm done. Like, and you know, I feel like it's more personal because I'm looking at everybody and we're talking heart to heart, not just about pinball, but life. And you see the show goes in a lot of different directions every week. And I truly enjoy that.
I have like hosts, Chris. So I have people that can sit with me and that I can bounce things off of. Mm-hmm. I think the skill set to sit there by yourself with chat and kind of keep to a script is difficult to do.
Yeah.
I think that's a skill set.
The people who don't like me would say that I suffer from some mental issues with that ability to like talk to myself for 90 minutes. But look, it's kind of, you get into a rhythm though. Again, like over time, you know, some people have said like, it's kind of like you're doing a 90 minute podcast, but I don't know. It's just easy to go around the pinball horn. And because there's like usually 70 to 100 people live with me, you know, I get to just react, bounce stuff off of them and, you know, have a good time. I mean, it's a lot of fun and it is hard. I mean, not everybody can do it. And there are days where I don't really, you know, want to do it for 90 minutes. You know, there's some weeks where the news is slim. But Brenda is the best. So my wife is the main reason I do all of this, because she's like, we schedule our lives and our family around that time. And there's so many times like we want to go do something and she's like, you've got to do your Saturday show. And so it's great. And if I didn't have a partner that supported all of this, never would happen.
She's no, like, you got to have a team, right? Because one of the great things about Janine, who I've been with since college in Florida, was she knows that this is just like a little bit inside of me, Chris, that I just want to do this. Like I grew up in Long Island. I heard Howard Stern on WNBC and I said, well, that was it. I was like,
yeah.
And I never fulfilled that. And the podcasts and then the stream and this, it just scratches that itch from me.
Yeah.
Right. And it just lets me do this. I don't give a shit who's listening or watching or anything anymore. I've gotten to the point where I don't care.
Right. Right.
I just want to have good pinball content, make people laugh and have fun. And as long as I'm having fun, we're going to continue to do this. As long as we're not having fun, then we'll just shut the stream down and just allow people come in 3 days a month.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like, I always say it, if you're not enjoying it, and I, And again, because take it from someone who's making a little bit of money, it's not, it would not be worth it. Like if it becomes too stressful or you feel like it's work, you'll just stop doing it. And the reason I love it too, and working in a creative industry like I do, it's the only thing I can create where I don't have to ask permission to see my creation come to life. When I work on my professional job, I'm taking ideas to clients, to coworkers, and I'm told no 9 out of 10 times.
Sure.
I have to talk to lawyers. I have to do this. We have to like work within budget. Yeah. But you know, I can sit down in my pajamas and rant about Elton John pinball for 30 minutes and it just, no one can tell me nothing. Like they can't tell me I'm not allowed to say that. They can't tell me when I want to upload it. So it's just, you know, it's liberating. And I think everybody needs that creative outlet. And that's why I love pinball. You know, whether you're a tournament player or a collector or a content creator, it's given us all like a little bit of a way to free some of that inner child in us, you know, that we all need to wake up happy every day.
Yeah. I'm impressed with how you deal with trolls though.
Well, cause I am, that's no, why, yeah.
You know, I can't go on Pinside. I can't because
I can't either.
Nobody knows who the hell I am anyway. So that pisses me off. Right. And then they're like, it's so, our best thing we've done is we did the Labyrinth videos, right?
Yep.
And God bless Barrels of Fun, and they've been a really good partner, and they love us, and we love them. But it was too fucking dark. Okay, the video was too dark. Yeah. I know it's too dark. I know. Yeah. I don't need Pinside to tell me it's too fucking dark. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And then every time I go there, they're showing how dark it is. They're telling me there's 4 fucking pages of how dark it is.
Yeah.
And I went into a tizzy, and then Janine's just like, I'm having Anjana. I'm going bananas. Janine's like, stop this. What are you reading?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was too dark. And B, Bowen Karens puts me to sleep when he talks about rule sets. And so like the thing is like the way to deal with Pinside, and this is, I've always believed this, is just picture those guys in their underwear, like drinking heavily. And typing away at their keyboards while they're eating Cheetos, and that's it. Like, you know, you ever notice that most of those guys that are the hyper users, the most critical, the most prevalent, they don't even show up to their own shows. Like, Iceman lives in Texas. I've never seen him at TPF once. You know, there's comfort in the how Pinside kind of, you know, protects people from, you know, kind of standing in front of their comments. And that's why when I do the lives, or I'm very in front of the camera, right? So like, I want to be cognizant. It's why even like on my podcast, I don't curse because I know kids.
Sorry.
It's all right. No, but I don't curse because people have told me that their kids listen. I stopped saying the Lord's name in vain because I had some listeners that were very religious and they're like, Chris, can you stop saying God? You know, like, God damn.
Hey, yeah.
And I was like, well, sure. Like that doesn't change it doesn't change any of like the impact, you know, of my statements if I just do that. And it's funny too, when people say I'm the most negative, when I actually like one of the most PG friendly shows there is in the entire football content space. So,
well, listen, you've got fans and you've got listeners and viewers and all this, and they're giving you feedback and they're saying it in a nice way. That's nice. Okay, I can do that. I can work on that.
Right. You know what's interesting too, I always think about this, is everyone's just a person. Everybody, whether it's me, whether it's you, whether it's Axl Rose, whether it's the president of the United States, and the ability, if you just reach out to people, to change the dialogue and the tone and the vibe. And even as I like talk about pinball companies, I'm always surprised that so few of them even just like reach out to be like, hey, we want to tell you our strategy on Elton John and what it was like making that, like, just, and never, you know. And if there was like this lunatic in New York just like spewing out all this stuff about pinball all the time, and I was a company or a manufacturer, I'd probably want to maybe build a bridge. And that's what's interesting, is the more they isolate me on an island, which they've done, the more popular the show's become, the more relevant it's become. And I think the more trust people have in it, because, you know, they know that I'm not going to hold back because of special interest or agendas, or because I'm trying to look out for a said company. I'm kind of just, I like just looking out for the for the customer and the community members and the buyers, because someone has to.
I am fascinated with how you get these scoops. I'm fascinated with it.
So well,
you obviously had to build the relationships. No one can just get these scoops without building relationships and building trust with these people, right? You can't be.
Well, here's why I get the scoops. It's so simple, Jamie. People know stuff. They don't want to burn their reputation or their relationship with the manufacturers or the people that told them this stuff, but they know I will. So they will, right. All they do is send it to me. And they're like, you know, I just heard a scoop yesterday that Stern has the license. This is going to be the first time someone hears it, has the license to make Journey pinball. And because someone was talking at IAPA and had loose lips, the same way I knew that Keith Elwin was doing the single level James Bond is someone at Stern confided in someone who's a heavy Stern purchaser that there was going to be a fourth edition of James Bond. And, you know, and what does that person do? I'm not going to out them. They immediately hit me up and be like, hey, Chris, I'm going to give you the greatest scoop ever. Nobody knows it. And that was my favorite scoop ever, because even John at Jack Bar was like, nobody believes this. This is not happening. If it happens, I'm going to have to join your club and give you $5 a month. And it was beautiful because it was just like, just sit back, yeah, eat popcorn. And I will say, like, I want to plug Jason Knapp, because I think now the scoop master is Knapp's Arcade, and Jason's incredible. And his site is like, because it went, his site evolved. Like, there was a time when he didn't want to really put up rumors or speculation because I think he wanted to respect a company's ability to announce it themselves. But he's now since become, I think, a much more interesting page because he's putting up the rumors he's hearing and the speculation. And I also love Jason's site because it takes a lot of work off my shoulders. So like, because you just read it and then you have like a show to talk about, because, you know, Knapp's Arcade is going to keep everybody up to speed every week on what's happening.
I really like talking to him. We had all these pictures from behind the scenes and, you know, no one really knows us that well. So I was like, you know what? Let me throw these to Knapp. Let me see if he wants to do anything with them.
Yeah.
And he was really kind. And I said, look, some of them are dark. Okay. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of them are dark. But, you know, we had the commercial that Aaron did, and Aaron's one of our ladies here. She's phenomenal. Does some stuff for Wormhole and her own thing called Learning to Flip. There's a little plug for Aaron. But anyway, I like Knapp. He's done a really good job. I enjoy him. He's definitely on my favorites on Facebook. And
yeah, and now you don't have to go to Pinside anymore, like to find the stuff. And I think that's why it's so important that we have, like, you know, I think Knapp's took over where This Week in Pinball started. I mean, it's the go-to site for news. And now, you know, if you can jump in. Pinside's good for the buyers clubs. It's good for solving problems. It's good for the mod community. It's good for the marketplace. Like, all that stuff is good. It's just, they announced like a year ago, Jamie, or 2 years ago, that they were going to go and purge like the 30 truly toxic members that just derail every threat, right? And they never did it. They never did. There's only two people that I think have a permanent lifetime ban. It's myself and Hilton Wisnow, who used to be, who's was very active for many years back in the day. I feel an honor.
did they reach out to you and go, you're out? Like,
No, it was, you know, like, it was a series of things, but the main, the post that did it, like the straw that broke the camel's back was, I was at Jack Bar and it was right when Hobbit came out and the Hobbit ramp broke. And I took a picture of it being like, some quality this machine is. And like, and that was it. It was just like, you're blocked and you're banned. And then it was funny because I got banned, but they still allowed people to share my links to the show after my, because I got banned. Then I made the podcast. And for a while, they allowed people to discuss my show and talk about me. Then they banned people's ability to even mention my name. So if you said my name, you were like, you know, you got moderated, basically.
I wonder if they could spell like phonetically to like.
Yeah. It's they've eased up since then. And, you know, Robin's a good guy. Like, he created a phenomenal site that brought the people together. Like, without Pinside, as much as it has its like issues, it really is the main thing that has kept the community going over the last 10 years, more than the companies. And it is interesting, right, Jamie? Like, how little the companies do to create community because they know like other people will do it for them, you know? And yeah. I think Stern's the only one that I feel like really hasn't, with the Army, they really have an effort to bring their, you know, their buyers and their fans together. I don't see that with anybody else. There's no like Jersey Jack, like, you know, like club, like doing
right. Anything,
you know? So, but yeah, to go back to your original question though, the best way to deal with the trolls is just, and this is what they can't figure out, just ignore them.
Ugh, so hard. I've spent so much money on my therapist trying to figure that out. Way too much money.
Yeah.
So, which part do you like? Do you, you know, you mentioned the breaking. Do you like breaking the news, or do you like just talking about the machines? Do you like just engaging? What is your favorite?
Yeah. You know, my favorite thing to do is to break title rumors, like, or to spoil, if you will.
Yeah.
The themes that are coming out. I just love it. Cause I don't think that these themes should be secret. Like, I know Grand Theft Auto is coming out. I know what the movies are coming out next year. Why is it a secret?
Right.
Themes are coming out. And we know why, is because the only game they want you to buy is the game that's on the line. And this is what annoyed me too about.
That's interesting perspective. Well,
and
right?
There's a good old boy club in pinball where those guys know what's coming down the line. Like, you know, designers at Stern will talk to their buddies who talk to their buddies. And then, you know, I get it. Like, they're all colluding to keep this information secret, but I don't think that's fair. Like, why should those people know that Matrix is coming next from Jersey Jack while I'm about to maybe buy an Elton John? So if I know what's coming down the road, I think it's beneficial for everybody but the FOMO that these manufacturers want. But here's the thing. If we know every theme coming over the next year, it puts pressure on the manufacturers to make sure they get great themes, that it doesn't matter that you know it's coming. Like, you know, Jamie, because I told the world that Back to the Future is coming from Dutch Pinball.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They're going to sell every single one and then some when that comes to fruition, because it's just that kind of theme.
Unless it's Back to the Future 3 only.
Not. It's going to be based on 1 and 2. So the thing is... if I told you that Stern's making Dungeons and Dragons, all of a sudden you're like, you know, if I told you Stern's making, like, I don't know, like, pick a theme that's like, I don't know, Foo Fighters was like that. I think they did a good job with it. But if you heard like, oh, they're going to make Nickelback, like, you'd be like, you know, and I think that's what, you know, they don't like is, you know, is us sort of like developing in power against FOMO. And this has been my point of view for the last year of like, wait and see and why buy now. If we all learn how to combat the FOMO that these companies have been creating over the last like 10 years, and most of the content creators are trying to create the FOMO because they're benefiting, you know, their friends who are distributors, it will liberate us, because it will force these companies to make games that are so good that, like, it better be good, because if we don't have FOMO, we're not going to run at Venom. We're not going to run at every single like new anniversary edition Stern puts out into the world. We're going to wait until we absolutely see something that speaks to us that we want to own. Now, for your friend who has 150 machines, and you know, if you have a ton of money, men with money to burn, FOMO doesn't even matter. Like, you know, you just get what you want. Like, you get what you want. You can buy a pinball machine like you're ordering a glass of wine. It doesn't matter. And I don't begrudge anyone who has that kind of purchasing power. I think it's great. This hobby wouldn't survive if it wasn't for a lot of wealthy men, you know, who want to turn their homes into arcades. I mean, that is half of this hobby.
What do you think about all those? You mentioned cul-de-sac buddies that got into the pinball, and I'm one of them, you know, because Tim brought me over there, and he lived on a cul-de-sac, and he brought me over, and I thought that really tickled me funny. That was such a good line that, you know, we've kind of raised the prices. I mean, it was supply and demand. We came in, and now we're seeing it come back down.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it's the, you know, like, pinball is not a cancer drug that we just need to get to as many people as we possibly can, right? Okay. Who are suffering all over the world. Right. This whole notion that we need to expand the love of pinball at all costs is just, it's kind of funny to me, because pinball is doing just fine. Like, it is doing just fine. And what's happened is, through COVID, right, everyone got bored. A lot of people were looking at their empty basements, and they had that $15,000 they spent on the family vacation was just sitting there. The recession never came. And so you were just like, oh, wow, like this is a thing. Like when we watched Don, like the way he caught the bug, everyone's gone through that journey of like, I didn't even realize this is a thing. I now know it. It's very relatable. I grew up during the period of arcades and pinball machines. And there's a community, and now I have a sense of belonging. And now I have a new identity. Every man and woman who gets into pinball, they almost have this new identity within the community, right? And it's so much fun. The problem now is, right, is there is just a lot more people that want this stuff. And so the demand goes up. The problem with the prices now, though, is the manufacturer is overshot.
Yeah.
And they went too far. And they've priced every game as if it was like that one of 10 that are available in the marketplace for 3,000 more than it came out for. And now we're going to make 1,000 of them that price. That's the problem. Is a Stern LE, we used to joke for years that the highest it would get to was $10,000 by Christmas. Now that's the price of a Stern Premium.
And a
Stern Godzilla LE was 10 grand, which was where they should have stopped it and let some value go to the customer. But now 1,000 Venoms at 13K, it's just not going to work. It's not sustainable. And now the men and women who are buying these things at MSRP, they open the box, Jamie, and they've lost $3,000 in 2 months. There is no way, I don't care how big your house is on how many cul-de-sacs, that your partner, your wife, or even you want to wake up and be like, why did I do this? Why did I rush and buy it when I can have the same game if I just waited 2 months? I would have saved myself $3,000.
The first one I saw about this that would have pissed me off if I was a collector was the Jurassic Park one.
Yeah, the 30th anniversary edition.
That pissed me off.
Right, you
and a Vira right on top of it? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, and then Stranger Things Premium rerun at the same time. And then you also, the James Bond 60th was like the real boneheaded.
Yeah, those.
It's been a bad year.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And, when Tim buys machines, especially new ones, they have to talk to him, right? He's got to, the theme has to talk to him. And if like Venom didn't talk to him, so he didn't buy Venom. Okay, fine. I'm not going to bash Venom. I love Mark Tremonti. He's a dude. He's sat right here. We opened the wormhole for him. But, if that machine doesn't talk to you, it doesn't talk to you. I don't, whatever. But,
it's like Stern's problem now. And I think they're more vulnerable than people think because they have to keep this big line going and they have to have distributors absorb what they manufacture. And they're not used to the soft response to a game like Venom. Foo Fighters did fine. I think Foo Fighters probably exceeded their expectations. But if they don't, now that they're in this big factory, if they don't get distros to like take all of those thousands of games and thousands of premiums and 1,000 LEs and then all the pros, they've got these distros basically. They're like the mafia. Like the distro has to buy their allotment or they lose their allotment on the next game or it diminishes. So like if you want Elwyn's Jaws, you got to take these Venoms. But the problem they're facing is every Venom that's going to sit unsold now for like years is going to eat away at any money they're going to make off the Jaws sales. And then the big thing is this, Jamie, it's only a matter of time before Stern starts selling more direct to customer. Like, why are they even passing on?
I saw you say that the other day, and I was just thinking of like back in the day, it is like a mafia. It really is. And why wouldn't they use this model that their competitors are doing?
And in an era where demand far outweighs supply for all these years, the only, look, distros are your sales force, but do you need a sales force to sell you like a Keith Elwyn game now? Or are more people knocking on the door to get it? Do you need a sales force to sell, Back to the Future? The thing is, look, there's still a need for distros because these things break down and, much like a car dealership, like service and whatnot. And a lot of people, these newbies in the cul-de-sacs, they can't, if they were to set up a machine, it would fall on them. They would break their neck. Like they don't know what they're doing. Like they, the moment they lift the first play field, the balls are flying everywhere. Like they don't, You know, a light goes out, the game, that light stays out for years. Like, it's just the way it goes. But, you know, but I do think we're going to have to, I do think the distros are going to have to get together and put pressure on these manufacturers to ease up. Like, if you have a B theme, we can't price it like it's Back to the Future. Like, it's just not going to work. Or the games are going to sit, you know, and that's just where it's at. And then, you know, to answer your other question too, I just love talking about this side of pinball so much too, because it's a speculative market.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike other collectibles like watches or cars, there's not much product to understand. You know, if you try to get into watch collecting, there's thousands of watches out there in the world.
I got into it for about 10 minutes and that was it.
Yeah, you couldn't even... Like, I love my tag. I love my tag. But I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of, like, I don't know how the mechanism in this thing works. I don't really care. Like, it's a piece of jewelry that men wear is my only, as far as I'll go with watch. But in pinball, in just a short period of time, Jamie, you will know every company, every product they have.
Right.
And you can catch up quickly. Like, it doesn't take long. And so
it didn't take me very long. You're right. Take me very long.
And, you know, you can get your head around the whole hobby pretty quickly. And I think that's why it's fun too for people, because in a short period of time, you know, you can jump in. And look, for all these dudes with disposable income, it's still a lot cheaper than watch collecting and car collecting and all this other stuff. And it's experiential. A watch, it just tells time. Like, my phone does that. Like, it doesn't make the experience any better when I have it on.
And you hit that nail on the head a little while ago when you were talking about, like, growing up, especially in New York, in Long Island, I would ride my bike to a pizza joint and they had a Tempest, right? So I would just dump quarters in the Tempest, right? And I just didn't play pinball because I sucked at it. But when Tim got me into it and started bringing me back, you know, to his house in 2018, it was a very simple, and especially competitive pinball for me, because I was a really good golfer. So the competitive edge to me that I can whip people's ass and learn this game and get my ass kicked, that really.
It opens up.
It really did.
And it's much like golf. It's, you know, in golf, it's you against the course.
Yeah.
And it's you against the machine, and you can enjoy pinball, you know, every day solo, like much like you can go out and golf solo and have a great time, where, you know, arcade and video games, like most of them, it's not the same. Like, it's, you're just studying the pattern of the code, and it's always like Donkey Kong's always the same. Like, you know, it's not going to get fresh. No, it's good. You know, I need to get my pinball skills up a little bit. You know, look, jokingly, Jamie, you know, I don't even have a machine set up. And that's
you live in New York. How the hell are you going to have a machine set up?
Yeah, well, my thing now is with Killian, I could set up a machine or two in the apartment, but he'll destroy it. Like, and I've got... Yeah,
how old is he?
He's 2... He'll be 3 in February.
Awesome.
So, you know, and you know that age, if you have any children.
Yeah, I have a 24 and a 21-year-old, but we have a grandchild from a 24-year-old now. Yeah. He's 6 weeks old, so he's not
shy. Oh, congrats. Yeah. But you know, like they're little monsters at that age.
Are.
And he, you know, he would take it in a permanent marker to the side of my Batman SLE, and that would be it. I'd be staring at Batman with a mustache.
It's not what you want to do.
No. So we're gonna wait till we get it. We're house hunting right now.
Are you gonna stay in the city or are you gonna go on?
No, we're gonna go. Or? We're looking in suburbs of something off of the Grand Central line. So Westchester, Connecticut. Sure. And yeah, so, you know, that's why also it's easy for me to wait and see on pinball, because housing market is ridiculous. And, you know, the optics of me buying a pinball machine to my wife right now aren't good. So,
well, I'm very lucky that I have a very best friend that is an avid collector. So, you know, it doesn't really make sense for me to buy machines when.
Absolutely. I always tell this to people too. It's like, don't buy the machine, convince your next door neighbor to. You know, it's such a smart man does that with his money. Yeah. You know?
let him get the venom and try it out, see what he thinks. So I heard that you saw the art on Jaws. Is that true?
I did not see it. I have spoken to someone who claims to have seen it, and they were underwhelmed and surprised that would be the Ellie artwork. The supposedly it is the image of the woman swimming in the ocean.
Okay. And with the buoy.
Well, it's like, if you look at the, it's on the movie poster, right?
Yeah. With the buoy and the shark.
Yeah. And it looks like, she's kind of naked. I think they kind of, they kind of hide her privates a little bit with the waves. And then I don't know if Jaws is sort of coming up underneath her. Now a pinball cabinet, I don't know if that's what it's going to look like and be mostly blue, or I heard it's a big image of her swimming. So like, we'll see what they do. I also, another scoop for you on this show is I heard that this might be the first Keith Elwin game with an upper play field.
Wow.
So
what would you do up there?
So I think you do the ship, like much like the Caribbean, that, I mean, why not? Like, make your version of it that rocks, but make it better. And also, can you imagine if they did the ship and it like starts to sink as that?
Not as the shark comes down on it. What was the name?
Or like it just starts to take on
the boat.
It's the Orca, right?
Oh, it is the Orca. Yeah, you're probably right. It's the Orca.
There's also
a bigger boat.
Yeah, a shark fin that pops up from under the play field. There's going to be three yellow barrels that you shoot.
You had to have the yellow barrels, right? Yeah, if they didn't do the yellow barrels, that's a mistake.
I'm shocked they're not the pop bumpers, but we'll see how they function. Apparently, you bash them and then they lower, and then that opens up a shot directly to Jaws.
You had to have the yellow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a must have.
Jaws is going to be very interesting if it's devoid of the assets, because the movie is so like about the characters more than the shark. And so if they don't have Roy Schneider in there, I don't know how you do Jaws without Roy Schneider. You know,
you have to have Roy Schneider in there. I've got a Roy Schneider story for you. Do you want to hear my Roy Schneider story?
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I worked at Ripley's, Believe It or Not, Museum in Orlando, Florida, when I moved to there. And Roy Schneider came into the Ripley's, Believe It or Not. And I was in the front, and he was filming a TV show, a submarine show in Orlando back in the 90s. It was some bullshit submarine show, right?
Right.
So he comes in, and I said, hey, Mr. Schneider, I'm a big fan of Jaws. I love you very much. Thank you so much. Welcome to Believe It or Not. Can you say, I think we need a bigger boat?
Yeah.
Can I hear you say it? And he goes, no. He grabbed the...
I don't think he says that in the movie. Isn't that, doesn't Dreyfus say it? I don't know who says it. That's probably why.
I don't even know. Maybe that's why he's 18-year-old idiot.
His iconic line is the smile, you son of a
bitch. Smile, you son of a bitch. Yeah, so that is the line.
You know what's crazy? Just, I have a Richard Dreyfus story that's strange. I never met him, but when I did my bedroom arcade and I lost my fiance, there was a big feature story in Wired magazine about it. And the writer is Emily Dreyfus, who's Richard Dreyfus's daughter, a writer for Wired magazine, which is just a small world.
It's
small
a tiny world.
How it comes full circle. But yeah, I mean, are you, is Jaws a theme, Jamie, that you're excited about?
I am. I'm definitely excited about Jaws. I was excited about Back to the Future when you guys broke that. That one, man, you could screw that up, but if it's really great and if it's, you know, you don't put the third movie in, I think it's going to be a really good.
Yeah. Movie. It's another one where you need Michael J. Fox, right?
Absolutely.
It's the same thing. Like, if you're going to do Matrix, you need Keanu Reeves. Like,
except the last Matrix, that fourth Matrix movie. Did you watch that?
That's terrible. But I heard Jersey Jack it's primarily Matrix 1, which is good.
Good. That's all you need.
Right. Like, you can't do Top Gun without Tom Cruise, and Tom Cruise won't give you his likeness. So you just can't make it. Like, it's just not worth doing. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a really interesting 2024 for pinball. I'm excited about it because with prices being where they're at, it's like home run or go home. Like, these games have to crush it, or like, we're all just going to be content with what we have. And that's okay. You know, and that's not a message that the distributors want you to hear, or the manufacturers, that maybe you could just be happy with what you have until something really.
Sometimes you have to have a reset, you know, sometimes you have to reset the market. And, you know, that
we're seeing that more across everything, whether it's pinball, luxury brands. It's like the world's changing, you know, and the never ending consumption of things you don't need. It's people are starting to realize the diminishing returns on it, and that, you know, to wake up happy, you know, you should fill your life with, you know, experiences that are memorable and magical. And like, you know, if you have 10 good pinball machines, number 11 is not going to be the thing, you know, that changes your life at all.
I never understood the topper fascination. Do you understand that?
I think the topper fascination was born because the machines themselves became increasingly underwhelming, that we looked for something to, like, just because the toppers became exclusive, right? So, like, right. The world of collectors, where, like, it feels like everybody's got the same thing, but I've got the Ghostbuster topper and you don't, right? I've got the Black Knight topper and you don't. And
if,
like,
the topper part of the game, which is kind of weird too, like the new Cactus Canyon.
You never look up that high. I mean, I have there's a cool topper in Batman, it's got the spotlight. It goes off, but I'd never notice it because you're looking down. Like, it is, I think the problem with the topper, you know, price spike is Stern manufactured it all. Like, if they had just made Ghostbuster toppers easy to get, like, there's no reason why they
outsource it.
Yeah. And then they know people want it, and then they didn't make more. So then all you're doing is just, and then what happens when they do make more Ghostbuster toppers? So all the dudes now who spent like $3,000 to $5,000 on one, like the Black Knight topper, people were spending $3,000 to $4,000 on one. Now you can go get one for $1,500, which is still $1,000 more than it used to be, which I'm not happy about. But now they just screwed over all those dudes who thought they were never making any more. The thing about Stern is they've never come out and ever said, we're never making any more. Even if they launch an LE, like, we all know now that means nothing. And that's, they got to be careful on that, because now
they do out. Because it, you know, especially avid collectors who are buying the LEs, right? Cause you don't see a ton of LEs at a arcade.
No,
you know, they're putting pros in there.
Yeah.
Right. So the LEs, what's the LE market?
Right. Yeah, and no, it's home collectors. I mean,
they're pissing that market off.
An LE with the premium in existence, an LE on location makes no sense whatsoever. Like, no sense. Because even think about, if you're an operator, I'm not going to get more plays because I've got an LE over a premium, right? It's not the same exact game. Same exact game.
Just different art.
Yeah. And I now need to have 3,000 more plays on this machine to break even. No. Like, why would I spend 3,000 more? And also, like, a premium almost makes no sense. Just throw a freaking, you know, these operators are getting deals on their pros because they buy every one, most of them. You buy a pro for $5,700, you throw it in the damn, you know, arcade, you make your 2,000 to 3,000 plays on it, maybe more, right? Then sell used for like $4,000, like, and you're good. Like, you've made your money on it. And for some of these, you know, newer games, you know, they might get like over 5,000 plays, you know, maybe more. I mean, it's not a bad business.
John, who's the GM of the Wormhole, has bought a bunch of pros and he put them on location throughout Houston. And there's an app where he can see the credit card, how many, I don't know what it's called, whatever. Doesn't matter.
That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome, right? And he could see that his Rush is doing very well here, but the Elvira is not doing very well over there. And technology, that's pretty neat.
That's fun. Yeah. I mean, I've thought about potentially operating in New York's weird. Like, there's not much pinball here. Like, we've got Jack Bar, Sunshine is done. Like, they've only got four machines now.
That's sad. Isn't that sad?
I mean, it was a death trap. I mean, I used to go in there and it was like, have you been there? It's like,
Tim's been there.
There was like 25 machines, no exit in this like POW camp back area of this laundromat.
Right.
And I was there once when there was a fire in the laundromat area. And they had to like open a hatch in the floor to like escort us through like the basement to get out. I'm like, there is no way this place is fire code like approved at all.
Right. And,
you know, now it's just gone. Like, there's
sad though.
Yeah. Well, like, but the thing is like, you know, New York City is so expensive. So if you want to make money in a bar environment, the last thing you're going to do is load up a bunch of pinball machines where you could have, you know, something else.
Yeah, well, you need space for people. There's no, it's so small, the bars. So
yeah.
That makes sense.
The barcades are crushing it, you know, like, because it's more like, I don't know, like, it's funny watching all these NYU kids, like, who didn't grow up with these video games, like, just button mash on, you know, 90s arcade machines and at Barcade in St. Mark's. And, you know, there's a few pinball machines there, but, you know, you'd make a lot more money off the video games.
We have this Cidercade here in throughout Texas. I don't know where they are, but I just don't like cider.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm not a fan either. Too much sugar.
Too much sugar, man. I can't eat that crap. Yeah. Trying to lose weight.
I know. I go to Barcade. It's like a crap beer place. I order, you know, Tito's on the rocks.
There you go. What kind of game? What are you looking forward to playing? What new one in 2024?
I can't wait to see Jaws. You know, yeah. I can't wait to see, you know, Elwin is just on a different level. He's on like a Supernal level.
The team
is so good. I hope it's not ugly. I think he's going to bring some magic. I do. I can't wait to see Matrix from Jersey Jack. I really want Jersey Jack to turn the corner. I don't think Elton John is that game. I think Richie just brought over, you know, another one of his generic designs and they stuck a piano in it and that's that. Like, but now that Jersey Jack's got the flipper feel down and the games are shooting better, Matrix with Jersey Jack light show to me, like, damn, like that has such potential if they don't mess it up. I think American Pinball is sort of just treading water.
We're getting a Galactic Tank Force.
I mean, my condolences, but
Christine Hood likes it and she got it and we're getting one any day now.
Which version?
The top of the line one.
Did you get the $17,000 one with the thermos and the lunchbox, or did you get?
I don't think we got a thermos and a lunchbox. I know it folds and it looks like a tank.
Yeah, look at the tank. So that's like, yeah, you got the LE. So there's like the LE, then there's the signature one that is like $17,500 with like a 3D translate and a thermos and a lunchbox.
When I get a pick, when we get it in here, I'll send you a picture and you can see which one we got. But
yeah, like it's a weird game, and you know, look, I get what they were going for. The tank part is unique.
It is.
It stands out.
Anything bad about them? Because I only played it once in TPF, and we kind of dug.
The thing about it, Jamie, is like you know, with all the 3 years in the making of that game, I was just expecting more. Like I was expecting more mechanical, cool stuff in it, and like it's just not there. Like and then you've got this tank like right up the middle, like close to the flippers, like
it's too close.
You're just bricking off the thing. And then the cow hanging from dental floss. And like, I don't know. Is this the best we can do, Dennis Norman, after you made games like Whitewater and you made, you know, stuff with, you know, he made Elvira, like freaking Elvira.
I know. I think it's interesting to see their model now. You could talk about this more than me, but non-licensed versus licensed, right? I get why you wouldn't make a licensed game because it costs a lot of money, right? And Labyrinth comes out and they went with a license because they can make more money, right? Yeah. It becomes
But think about it like this. They have a licensed theme, Jim Henson, and they still didn't sell 1100, right? I mean, it's like with a license,
right?
You're going to go unlicensed. Just imagine how few you're going to sell. And, you know, I think Barrels of Fun, I will say this, you know, I'm not saying this because I'm friends with Blake and, you know, and I respect the party over there. They did it right. And I think they're really going to, you know, pick themes that are going to be the right kinds of themes for a company that really only needs to sell around 1,000 units. They're going to find niche, like, you know, cult classic films, if you will, make a fun pinball experience. And then, you know, what I like about it, I think we're reaching a point now where like, it's just everyone, it feels like everyone has every Stern. Like, it's like nothing feels special and unique. Like, you know, it's like these boutiques have always, I think, you know, they've under-delivered to the collector space who really is craving for that scarcity, that exclusivity, that unique pinball experience. You know, Dutch brought in so much hope 10 years ago with it.
Yeah. And
Spooky's, you know, keeps getting better. But it's good. It's good to have Barrels versus Spooky versus Dutch now. Like, and these boutiques, and because we know that, Jamie, they can't make 5,000 a year like Stern can.
No, they don't have the warehouses. They don't
Which
have
is
the
good. It's good. We need
that. Good.
I'm going out later tonight. So I got my untied bow tie. People are wondering, like, I don't normally rock this, like,
look fantastic.
I want to have it tied. I felt like I would catch more flack, but I'm going to a theater show tonight. And I think when you go to the theater on Broadway, you should dress accordingly. I hate you going to Broadway.
There's a traveling MJ show came to Houston. And I saw that. Have you seen the Michael Jackson?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. No.
Oh, because it's playing on Broadway. It was really, really good.
The thing about Broadway is you should dress nice. And like, go to Broadway.
Shouldn't be wearing a wormhole.
No. And like, there's nothing worse than, you know, going out to a dinner in a theater and everyone is just like in, like, you know, jeans and a t-shirt. And it's just, you know what's funny? People dress up on cruise ships more than they do like in Times Square. And it's kind of a similar vibe. Like a cruise ship is like Times Square on the ocean, you know? And I'm always amazed when you take a cruise, how formal it becomes at night. And when people forget to bring, you know, some nicer threads, you feel underdressed. But you
cruise ships are good for you, because as your son gets older, you can stick him in the daycare all night till 2 a.m. and your wife, you can have
great. It's great. You know, and as my mama says, you can never be overdressed.
Oh, that's nice. My father didn't say that to me, so my parents didn't say that. All right. So listen, I don't want to take any more of your time. It's been great, man. What a great conversation. We didn't get controversial. I think there's a perception about you that is just wrong. And I wanted to interview you. And I was just like, look, I'm a recruiter. I interview 10 to 15 people a day. We're going to have a nice conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a disclaimer that I wrote, right? In case we went off the rails. I didn't even use it one time.
Yeah. Well, I'm not drinking. My haters would say, like, throw some whiskey in them. But you know what?
Look, you're having fun. And then if you do something wrong and you apologize, why don't people accept apologies anymore?
The world's changed. You know, you can't. No one forgives anybody anymore.
Yeah.
One and done culture.
It is that. It really is.
I can't tell you how many emails to Jeng is like, really, bro? Come on. Like, I took the piss out of you for 3 minutes and you're going to like not get over it? Come on. Like, especially as like grown men, even amongst your friend set, I don't know. Like, people get in like spats and feuds, especially when you're drinking and you're just going back and forth. Like,
but do you think it's the New Yorker in us because we're ball busters and we grew up basketballs?
Probably. I
think we're both aware enough to know, being in some sales, that when we're crossing the line and when we go, my bad. Okay.
Yeah. No. And when I cross the line, you know, I know it and I feel bad, you know, and I think what's happening in culture today is people don't want to accept apologies because they don't want you to feel good. Like, they don't want to relieve you of your, you know, your pain around the pain you caused.
Yeah.
Right. So
they want to hold it over you.
Yeah. It's fine. But I do believe, as you know, as Tupac said, what thug life means on his chest is the hate you give does live inside forever. And, you know, and you don't want to like live with the anger, though. It also, even if you're the victim of someone's like vitriol, like ultimately, if they're like, hey, man, I'm sorry, like, let's move on. Like,
yeah,
you know, people forgive people forgive murderers, but no one will forgive.
It's like, no, it is just like, we have at the wormhole one rule, and it's a strict no a-hole policy.
Right.
When you walk through this door, okay, I don't care what religion, race, anything you are, everyone's accepted in this joint. But if you don't do that, you're out.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
And we've kicked people out. We've kicked two people out, and I don't feel bad about. The other, you know, we're on a probation and maybe we'll bring them back. But we forgive. They made a mistake. They drink too much. They had it a little too fun. I just don't understand. And Colin, I doubt you're going to listen to this, but dude, the guy's won 6 Twippies in a row. I think if the Twippy means anything.
Yeah. He's not going to be too happy after he sees did you see what I put up on my Facebook?
I got lit up because of people know that I'm interviewing you. So you got to watch this morning. And I was effing with the stream to make sure it looked good and sounded good. And then I was reading you and watching you this morning. You holding the six.
I grabbed the image of his panel discussion at Expo. And it's just like an empty room he's talking to. But look, ultimately, Colin's new to this as well, and he's getting his feet wet in it. And again, you just, he needs to learn from people who are doing it and doing it well, and not take this like contrarian hardline stance that he's taking. I mean, I get it. I wasn't even going to go to the damn media mixer, but just I should be on the invite. If you like, that's. But and then he's like threatening to call the cops. I mean, the cops are there to protect people from like violent crimes, domestic violence. You're going to call the Chicago PD. I have all the emails. You're going to call the Chicago PD if I show up to a pinball show.
I didn't get invited.
Well, we can hang out at the wormhole when I visit. How close are you guys to TPF?
4 hours.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll
come
just
to the Houston Arcade Expo. So that's the deal, right? So we'll get Blake. Blake will. We'll get you in, right?
Okay.
Make you a room, and then you can come to the wormhole and hang out here. And then when the museum comes, you're going to have to come because the place is going to be ridiculous.
Absolutely. Well, we'll do like a champagne toast to the opening of it, and we should do like a ribbon cutting, you know, like when
we're going to. I would love to have you there for that. I think that would be really, really cool.
Yeah. And
because because if you know anything about Tim and Christine Hood, it's not going to be the Pinball Museum in Vegas. No offense to that.
No, right? I mean, the place is. Yeah, it earns its reputation. Let's just say that.
Sure as hell does. I got a great story about that lady in there.
All right. Well. Let's do this again. I mean, this is fun. Like,
I would love to do it again. And thank you so much. And then you have just done a really good job, and I'm really impressed with what you're doing. And anyone, you know where to find Kaneda. You know where to see him. You know where to go. Okay. You got to subscribe. You got to go to Patreon and all that great stuff.
Are you a subscriber?
No, I'm not yet.
There it is. You're in sales, and you just gave me the best sales pitch. But then, you know, all right, join the club. You got
to
join.
I'm going to. I'm
you join the, here's, to. I'll make a deal. You join the club. I will be at next expo in Houston, and I'll come to the wormhole, and I'll come to the museum opening.
You're going to get a notification in less than 10 minutes that I joined your Patreon.
Love it. Love it.
Hey, Chris, thank you so, so much. What a great. It was just a pleasure. I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you. And thank you to Blake and everyone. And you can check us out. We're going to put this on both our YouTube so you can watch it. And then also on all the areas that you can get podcasts. And maybe I can win new podcasts.
Yeah, this could be it. Well, maybe we'll throw some votes your way. And I'll share this with everybody on my sites.
Oh, awesome. All right. So I'll get a link and I'll send it to you. Okay. So you can download it as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate your time. Thanks, brother.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, bye.